Okay.
Gray caught an election and got a better majority. And in September 1831, the House of Commons voted the Reform Bill. The House of Commons, the lower house, said yes, we want reform. However, after a long debate, the House of Lords rejected it. Okay, you know how it works in Britain. You have the House of Lords, and then the bill must go to the House of Commons. Then the bill must go to the House of Lords. So, in September 1831, the House of Commons agrees, yes, we will have this new Reform Act, and the House of Lords says, no, we won't. And this is where the movement is. The movement becomes more active. In many British towns, there were big riots, huge riots in many British towns. The most important ones being in Bristol. In Wales, in Merthyr Tydfil, the riots were attacked by the army. 24 people were killed in Wales. Let me give you a few more information about that. In Bristol, four prisons were burnt down. These are incendiées les prisons. In London, the Duke of Wellington and the bishops who voted against the bill in the House of Lords, they were attacked. In Nottingham, the castle was burnt, and there were serious riots in Derby, in Worcester, in Bath, where they attacked the prisons and so on. This, of course, is the end of October, and on the 5th of November, you have Guy Fawkes Night, and the different demonstrations around the country made models of the Lords and burnt the models of the Lords. Yeah. So, very strong reaction there. At the same time, one section of... Stay with us a moment. One section of the radicals were of the opinion that it didn't matter. Interesting debate inside the movement. A section of the radicals said, but this Reform Act is so moderate, it has no importance. It's not good for you. So you have a general movement of an alliance who are pushing for some reform. It's a first step, some reform. And you have a section of the radicals who say, there's no point, it's such a small reform, it's not important. And in particular, one of the newspapers, the Poor Man's Guardian, is a newspaper, and what did they say in the Poor Man's Guardian? They said, we are so fully convinced that the Reform Bill is nothing to you that we will not occupy our columns at the expense of more valuable matter. Nous sommes tellement convaincus que cette loi ne vous propose rien du tout que nous n'allons pas en parler. Nous allons remplir nos pages avec des choses plus importantes. Okay, so why is this important? Well, because, again, one of the characteristics of 19th century social movements and other social movements is the internal debate. The internal debate is always permanent, and here you have the division between those radicals who say, let's have an alliance with the bourgeois and the middle classes, we'll get something, and it will be a beginning, and those radicals who say, this reform is too small, we're not prepared to mobilize for this reform, we want something big, all or nothing, to some extent. I don't want to exaggerate their point of view. And that question of deciding when is the reform too small to support, that's a permanent problem in social movements. Yeah? Because at some point, the reform appears to be so small that really it seems more logical to denounce it. Okay, so that's the situation. The House of Lords... Yes? Inside the movement. Inside the movement, two opinions. Most of the movement said, okay, well, let's have an alliance. Let's work with, we are workers, but let's work with the factory owners on this question to get reform. That was probably the most popular position. And then a minority who said, no, this reform is so small. And it was small. in principle that we don't support it, yeah? And so a division inside the movement. Now, one of the things it's important to do is not to say, is that really exciting? Good. It's not to, occasionally students write in their work and something like that. Unfortunately, not everybody agreed with each other. Yeah. And this is to avoid, because internal debate and disagreements in social movements is universal. There is always this. It is a fact. And it is just, it's not interesting to say, it's very sad. That's not important. It's not history. Okay? The fact is there is always debate. What is your job is to say, which debate, why, what did the different sides say? How did they try to mobilize, and so on. It is not interesting to say, oh, it is so sad that they do not agree with each other. Yeah. Because again, being unhappy about what happened in history is not the job of a historian. Yeah. You can be unhappy in your spare time, yeah. But when you're studying, being happy or unhappy is completely irrelevant. Yeah. So try not to avoid. I say that because people do often, malheureusement, il y avait un débat et un désaccord. On l'écrit tout le temps. It's not serious, it's a fact. There's a debate, there's a disagreement. There are always debates and disagreements in every political movement, except if you have an organization with just one person. Yeah, I agree with myself every day. Actually, not every day, but I often agree with myself. Okay, so that's the situation with the Reform Bill, a mass movement burning down people's houses. Ah, you voted against the law in the House of Lords. I'm afraid we're going to burn your house. Yes, oh, very scary. Also, in a context where Captain Swing has just happened in France, there's 1830 going on. So some of the elites are very frightened. Of course, some people are executed. Four people are hanged in Bristol. Different sections of the elites disagree as well. Macaulay, one of the first great historians, incidentally, said, I support this plan because I am sure that it is our best security against a revolution. Okay, so there's one section of the elite said, we need to support the Reform Act because this will stop a revolution happening. Now, you always have to be careful with this because if a revolution happened every time the elite were frightened of a revolution, there would be three every morning. Yeah, yeah. The elite, especially the English elite, are often very, very quickly frightened of a revolution. This does not mean that a revolution was close. Yeah. It's just one of the things about being an elite is it can make you a little bit paranoid. Okay, so what else happened at this time? The Bishop of Exeter. It doesn't matter. One bishop wrote a letter to the Duke of Wellington. What did he say? The most inflammatory bills have been freely circulated, calling on the populace to arm themselves and imitate the heroic acts of the Bristol men. This detestable reform bill has raised the hopes of the utmost. At Plymouth, the spirit is tremendously bad. The shopkeepers are almost all dissenters. Yeah. Okay. So the bishop is explaining to the Duke of Wellington that the situation is very 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 dangerous. So what is the solution? Well, the government tries to solve the problem. Yeah. So the government has the majority in the House of Commons, but not in the House of Lords. What can they do? The Prime Minister goes to see the King and says, "We want you to create some new lords. Create, I don't know." How many was it? It doesn't matter. 100 new lords. Remember, the king has the right to create a new lords. Yeah. In the House of Lords, there is a majority against reform. I am the king. Here are 100 people. You are all lords now. Go and vote in the House of Lords. Yeah. It is possible for the king to create a lot of new lords and therefore solve the problem of the House of Lords and get a majority. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do because the legitimacy, the symbolic legitimacy of the House of Lords would suffer. But Grey goes to meet the King and asks him to do this. King William says no and asks the Duke of Wellington to form a new government. It is impossible for him to do it. What is more, a whole group of army officers write a letter to the Duke of Wellington and they say, we will not attack a demonstration for reform. So the leaders of the army writing a letter to the Duke of Wellington saying, if there are big demonstrations for reform, we will refuse to attack them. Yeah, un peu comme si les généraux écrivaient au président en disant, vous pouvez pas compter sur nous. Governments don't like it when the leaders of the army are refusing to cooperate. So that was a big thing. Huge meeting in Birmingham, 200,000 people in a meeting in Birmingham. And the slogan, more lords or none. Davantage de lords ou sinon aucun. Mais davantage de lords pour pouvoir faire la majorité dans la chambre des lords pour faire passer la loi, la réforme. Ou sinon, on abolit la chambre des lords. Donc des menaces, yeah? More lords or none. And the king agreed finally to create new lords to get the majority. However, it was not necessary because when he threatened to do that, the House of Lords changed their minds and they voted for the new Reform Act. Yeah. So the king threatened to create a lot of new lords to have a majority. And the House of Lords said, oh, no, it's not necessary. They changed their mind and they voted under pressure. They voted the Reform Act in 1832. Okay, do you have a question there? Was there something not quite clear? I'm not surprised. It is a little complex.
Yes. When you said that women said no,
Okay, so the situation is, the king says, no, I don't want to create any new lords. But then the situation gets worse. The movement is bigger. Some of the army leaders say they will not help the government against the reform demonstrators. And it is impossible to get enough people to agree to form a government. So the political crisis gets deeper. So the king says, okay. And when the king says, okay, I will create a lot of new lords, the House of Lords says, okay, we'll pass the bill. So there you go. They have the Reform Act after a huge political and social crisis, which leads us to what are the big questions here. Well, first of all, we could be a little surprised. I told you at the beginning that before the Reform Act, 450,000 people could vote. And after the Reform Act, 700,000 people could vote. It's not a revolution. Huh? It's not such a big reform. But for many, many people, it was considered to be the beginning of the first step in a reform. And for a large section of the elite, it was also seen as, we must not have the Reform Act because it is the first step to democracy. Yeah? And so the reason that a lot of the elite did not want the Reform Act was not because the Reform Act was very dangerous in itself. But it's the old question, if you give people a little bit, they will want a lot. This is the theory. And then again, another section of the elite said, no, this Reform Act will stop the possibility of further democracy. So you have different opinions among the elites and different opinions among the movement. This is history. History is complicated like that. Of course, when you look in the special history book written for Les Collégiens, it's all much simpler. Sorry, if you didn't want it to be more complicated, you shouldn't come to university. I apologize for that. Now, this Reform Act, however, was not a normal act. For example, traditionally, the king comes to Parliament to sign every law. In this case, the king stayed at home. Yeah, he didn't want to come to Parliament. This is a symbolic refusal. Yeah, he had to sign it, but he did symbolically. He was very, very, very angry about it. So, let's have a look at the details of the Reform Bill, just briefly. Yeah?
He did not sign it. I don't
know. Oh, yeah, he signed it, but he stayed at home and signed it. Yeah, that's right, yeah. So let's have a look at some of the details. I'm not going to give you all the details because it's different for towns than in the countryside, and if you care, you can look it up on the web. Let's have a look at the most important things. In the towns, you can vote if you own a house worth £10 a year. Okay, that was the rule, yeah? If your house that you own is worth £10 a year, you can vote if you're a man. If you own a house worth £10 a year, donc avec une valeur locative imaginaire de 10 livres par an. C'est pas mal. It's not 15 euros la maison, c'est pas beaucoup. Yeah, at the time, this is quite a lot of money. If you own a house worth £10 a year. Yeah, so it's a property qualification, yeah? Also, some of the rotten boroughs were abolished. Some of the little villages, some of the little villages had no inhabitants and still had a member of parliament. Yeah, 56 of these were abolished, and more than 100 seats were given to the new industrial towns. Manchester got 2 seats, Sheffield got 2 seats, Birmingham got 2 seats. So there was a modernisation of the system like that. Notice, however, one particular reform which did not happen is that Earl Grey, the Prime Minister, insisted no secret ballots. Pas de bulletin secret. Pas de vote par bulletin secret. Okay, this was not possible. Yeah, reform, okay, but no secret ballots. The secret ballots will be what we'll see next week, but in the 1870s, 40 years later, approximately. Okay, so now that's not an accident, yeah? As we know today, the secret ballot is quite important. In fact, in France, I find that the secret ballot is particularly popular. And when we have the meeting of the department and we elect the head of department, it's by secret ballot. There is only one candidate and everybody votes for her or him. But it's still by secret. I know in France they really like the secret ballot. Whereas in Britain they say, oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's very interesting. So it's a whole tradition, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know if you have it in any other places in France.
The Reform Act,
yeah? Yes, remember, a Reform Bill, once it is voted, it is a Reform Act, yeah? Reform Bill, Projet de loi, Reform Act, as well. Okay, so, there you go, that's the situation of the Reform Act. It was very, very shocking for a lot of people. Even inside the Parliament, one of the members of Parliament said, They are mad. Yeah, it was considered to be madness. Thomas Macaulay, the great historian, such a scene as the vote last Tuesday I never saw and I never expect to see again. There you go. And the royal family in Europe, not in Britain, were extremely shocked also. However, some of the workers were very much disappointed. I mentioned the Poor Man's Guardian, one of the most radical newspapers, and in the early 1830s. This newspaper sold 22,000 copies. 22,000 copies each time. This is a lot at the time. You'd say, the man, a man, yeah, but a kiosk. So it became very quite popular. And more than half of the agents of the newspaper, The Poor Man's Guardian, were imprisoned. Yeah, so the interestingly enough then, the Reform Act did not really give a lot to the radical movement. It was a small change. But the mobilization for the Reform Act really helped the radical movement to grow. And it was possible to get people who were prepared to take a lot of risks, to risk prison, for example, in order to sell these illegal newspapers. And so you get this movement there in that way. Okay, just let me change on that.